Let's look here in chapter 1 of 1 Peter. I'm going to read a few verses, talk a few minutes. Maybe we'll get done early and have time to talk about somebody else. Let's just start with the verse 1, chapter 1. Peter, I like old Peter, don't you, the old fisherman Peter. Sometimes I know I would. I'm not saying that I'm as knowledgeable in Scripture and know too much about the Lord. And, of course, he walked with the Lord and all like that. But in a lot of ways, he kind of reminds me of myself in the stubbornness part and that end of it. You know how it was. But anyway, Peter wrote here, he said, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, your heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now you see not, yet rejoice, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of grace that should come unto us. We'll stop there. I don't want to go back and pick up on verse 3, I guess, on the blessed be the God and Father. My thinking on this is, most of the time when we think about being blessed, we focus more on ourselves and individuals. Again, nothing matter with that. We are blessed. Have been blessed. I have been. I think everybody in here has. And sometimes we tend to forget that the main one that needs to be blessed is the one that the Apostle Peter looked to here, the God and Father. I don't think that we give him enough praise and honor and glory to you for what he's done for us. Peter here said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, ain't you glad for God's mercy and grace? Without that, we wouldn't be here this morning. Without that, we wouldn't know anything about the hereafter to come. Amen, Brother Rose. And through that, through his mercy and grace, of course, first of all, we've been called and we've been enlightened to things in the Scripture. Thank God for his precious word. The Bible said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Thank the Lord for that. But Peter said, blessed be the God and Father. There's reasons for that. And he mentioned a lot of them. First one he mentions is because of his mercy and his grace. Thank the Lord for that. All of these things. We take for granted so much. They kind of find second place in our lifestyle, so to speak. The Apostle Paul, I was just thinking, he had an experience in his life, and you all know it. All of us are familiar with it. How he told the Lord he'd never forsake him, he'd never deny him. And of course, when it come down to the cross, Brother Lowell, he did just that. And that lets us know that he was just like we are in that sense. But he had that experience, and I don't believe he was ever the same after that when the Lord looked upon him. You know, when the Lord sent for the disciples, just I remember this often when I think about it. He sent for the disciples and he said, tell Peter to come too. And old John might not be what he ought to be, but I'm glad, Brother Lowell, I believe when he sends for the people, he'll say, tell John to come too. Or Ralph, or whatever the case. Goes back to his mercy and his grace again. I don't know too much about you all, but I know a whole lot about me. If you knew about me what I know about me, you might not want nothing to do with me, Brother Lowell. That's one reason I understand more about his mercy and his grace. And we all need to look at ourselves like that. Because when we look at ourselves the way we really are, we appreciate him a whole lot more for what he really is. The Bible said one place a man that thinks himself to be something when he's nothing deceiveth himself. I don't want to be deceived to you, especially about something like that. Peter said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy. Notice now, I want to get into this. Which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us. I got to thinking about that. And as far as I know, I never could remember. I mean, I know we have a kind of a general understanding of what begotten is. Brother Lowell, as far as I can remember, I've never heard anybody really explain what begotten was. I got to thinking about that. So what do you usually do when you get in that predicament? You get out old Mr. Webster. See what he had to say about it. And really, surprisingly to me, I had more trouble finding out about that than I thought I would. I went to commentaries, nothing said about it. So I just got the old dictionary out and seen what it said. And I'm going to tell you what it said. Begotten. It says, that word comes, I couldn't even find anything on begotten, but it comes from the word beget. That means to be the father of or the sire of. To bring into being. That helps a little bit, don't it? He said we was begotten. You know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's a pretty important word, I would say. And notice, he said, begotten us again. I don't think it's any accident that our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was talking to, help me out there, in John chapter 3, Nicodemus, wasn't it? He said to him, Nicodemus, you know, must be born again. The reason again is there because we had born wrong the first time. So he begotten us again into a lively hope. Lively hope. All those words are important, but this is one of my favorites. I want to look back over into Romans. I think it's Romans chapter 8, maybe it is. Let me see if I can find it. Romans chapter 8. Let's see. Somebody say something. Romans 8 and 24 is what I've got wrote down here. Let's see. Yeah. For we are saved by hope. We are saved by hope. Not in the sense of salvation. We might misunderstand what he's really saying here, but this saved would mean kept. Now, if you look over in where we started reading that there, in verse 7, somewhere it says we're kept by the power of God through salvation. Verse 5, who are kept by the power of God. Well, here in this verse, it says, for we are saved by hope. I think it would be fair to say that that means we are kept, preserved, sustained. What is hope? Has to do with our emotional makeup. Has to do with a desire. Has to do with an expectation. Another place, one of my favorite places, I think it's in Hebrews chapter 6, says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. So, we are saved or kept by hope. We're looking. Abraham put it this way. He was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. We're looking to the future. That's where we ought to be looking at, or to, as God's people. Not so much tomorrow as far as the world's concerned, but to the future that we have. Spiritually speaking, eternal things. Our hope is in the Lord. And he says here, let me read this, for we are saved by hope. Our hope that is seen is not hope. I believe the Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Corinthians chapter 4, maybe it was, for we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. He says, not the things that's not seen. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So we are saved by hope. It's an expectation. Something we're looking forward to. And we're not alone in that. In verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Ain't you glad for that? Sometimes when we doubt, sometimes when we get sideways, crossed up, I'm glad we have the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, that helpeth our infirmities. So far we know not what we should pray for, ought, as we ought, but the Spirit itself make intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Have you ever been in that place? I have. I dare say we all have. You see, we still got this old flesh. We talk about that a lot. We ought to talk about it a lot. We ought to be really, really aware of it. And understand that it's an obstacle in our life. The only thing that I know we can do with is try to bring it into subjection. And that's a hard thing to do. But I'm glad when we're weak, he's strong. And I'm glad when we get in those positions and in those times in our lives, that God the Holy Ghost, just as much God as God the Father is. Amen. I believe we need to understand that. He is God that took up his abode in us. That's the reason why the Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You see, things ain't like they used to be. You're a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. Don't say it right there, but it tells us other places in the Scripture, even though that is truth, we still have this stinking old flesh to put up with. And we have weaknesses in that flesh. We have trials in this life. And that's the reason the Apostle Paul said that the trial of your faith, which is more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried by fire. The only way this is possible is likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. I don't know about you, but I'd say we're all about the same. I can tell when that happens. Listen, things can be going pretty bad. You can be in a bad way. But God, the Holy Spirit, can show up on the scene and things will really change quick. Boy, I'm glad for that. We have a hope. It's an expectation, a desire, when we set aside this old flesh, that we can look to glory, have a hope, an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. It gives us an assurance in trying times. I don't know about you, but I need that. I'm glad we have that. I'm glad it's available to us as God's people. I believe the Apostle Paul had experienced that. Not the Apostle Paul had, but talking here about Peter, Apostle Peter. He said, we have a lively hope. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Then he goes and talks about inheritance. We've talked about that a little bit already. I thought about when the Apostle Peter, Apostle Paul was caught up into the third heavens. And he saw things he said that he couldn't come back and tell us about. Paraphrasing. Have you ever wondered about what he's seen? An inheritance. I don't think we realize enough, Brother Rose, and meditate and think about our inheritance that we have as God's people. Here it says incorruptible. Far different from what we're used to. Everything on this earth, everything you look at, everything you can touch, see, look at, feel, is corruptible. One of these days, it's going to perish. I think about preachers sometimes, just crazy thought, but I think about it anyway. And it's not just that way with one thing, it's that way with everything. But if you get a new car, everybody looks at it and they say, boy, you got a nice car. Somebody told me that one time. I said, yeah, it looks good right now. But it won't be too long until it'll be over here in the junk heap with the rest of them. Looks pretty what it's new. But them over there, them old rusty things over in that junk heap was new at one time. Everything on this earth is corruptible. But he said that inheritance that we have, it's incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away. What that means, it's eternal. Won't be no clock, sir. Won't be no timer. Eternal in the heaven. That fadeth not away. Reserved in heaven for me. You, believers, born-again believers, been saved. And when I think about that, I can't help but with going and thinking about people that may not be saved. I mean, churchgoers. People that go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Reserved in heaven for you. That is for the people that's been saved by the grace of God. Washed in the blood. Genuinely born again. Reserved for us. Not only will we have a place reserved for us, but we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. I want to finish out on salvation. Mentions salvation here at least maybe three times here in the next two or three verses. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Then in, let me see, verse 8, whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not yet believe, with joy and believe, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. Apostle Peter, you know, we can speculate and wonder, and you know how we are. We can do all those things, and for the most part, don't cost us nothing. All of God's apostles were great men. We can all agree on that. We know there was. I know they all loved the Lord and he loved them. But somehow or another, I'm just more attached to Peter than I am the rest of them. I guess because some of my traits are kind of like his. Boy, I tell you, he says some awful powerful stuff in his writings. I like Peter. He kind of seen things down on my level where I could see it. Talks about being born again. Talks about the precious blood. For as much as you know that you're not redeemed by silver and gold. Man, that's down on the low shelf. Nothing bought it. Silver and gold. From your vain conversations. There's probably enough in that verse right there, preacher, for a man to preach on for 2 or 3 years. From your vain conversations, he comes back again and touches on our standings before we got saved. But by the precious blood. You see, he didn't say by the blood. He put a word in there that really made it stand out. By the precious blood of Christ. Then he goes back. I'm sure he read Isaiah 53. Who was slain as a lamb before the foundation of the world. He says, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. My, what a Savior. What a Savior we have. But he talks about our salvation. I like what Jonah said. He said, salvation is in the Lord, of the Lord. The writer in Acts said, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Salvation. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired. Of which salvation I'm saying we don't deserve. Apostle Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. He said, ye hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. I thought one time, I was reading this, a thought come to my mind. We wasn't just dead. We was dead dogs. The Apostle Peter, in talking about this, well, I'm going to get there in a minute, but anyway, I'm going to stay in Ephesians here just a minute. It's verse 1, it says, and ye hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. And verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of his promise, having no hope. And without God in the world. That's where we stood at. See, me and you didn't have no covenant with God. We didn't have nothing. We didn't have no access. We were without hope. Do we understand that today? And we didn't have no hope. Can you imagine in your mind just forgetting everything else this morning, sitting here without any hope? But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. What was a hopeless situation became hopeful. Go back over to Peter and let me see if I can find what I've got on my mind here. Peter said it like this. Again, he has a way of doing it, a way of saying it. Verse 8 of chapter 2, he said, verse 9, chapter 2, but ye are a chosen generation. Look at the difference. One time we was without hope over here in Ephesians, but now, in Christ Jesus, I like what Peter says about it even more, but ye are a chosen generation. Can you imagine that? Can you look at me up here and even think something like that? A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. We could say just a holy person and a peculiar person. Makes it a little more personal. I've heard people say, oh, I remember John. I remember what you used to be. Well, I do too. It was even said to me one time, I was the meanest person that ever went through Nicholsville High School. Kathy will vouch for that. She'd probably still say I am, Murray. A lot of ways I am, but some ways I'm not. Anyway, yeah, I've had people say, yeah, I remember you. I remember you. You ever had anybody say that about you? Y'all probably wouldn't mean as I was. I remember you. I ain't never read it nowhere in the scripture where he said, I remember you being like that. When it comes to this, it tells us what we are in the flesh. But after we got saved, they still say that about me today. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye show forth praises unto him who hath called you out of darkness into the marvelous light, that in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. Every one of us here this morning, if we've been saved by the grace of God, and I trust we have, are the people of God. We're going somewhere. Been bought with a price. Got a place reserved in heaven for us. I was thinking about the scripture where the Lord was leaving and going away. And he said, if I go away, I will come again. That where I am, there you may be also. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. Which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. You see, this world, we're a thorn in the flesh. Did you know that? They'd like to get rid of us all tomorrow, today, right now. We're a thorn in the flesh. Thank God we're the apple of his eye. What a contrast. They hate us. They hate us, Brother Rose. But he loves us. You know, they sang a song, he loves me. He loves me. He loves me. This I know. Do you know that today? You know, the reason that's just about so far ahead above our thinking, we can't comprehend it. A God in heaven that loves us that says, you are now the people of God. But now have obtained mercy. Well, there's a lot in that I don't understand. But there's a few things I do understand. I don't know how much we're supposed to understand. We could probably, Brother Rose, we could probably understand a lot more than what we do understand. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, and has raised us up together, and made us to sit in heavenly places. I don't know how you get any better than that. I don't know how you get any better than that, Larry. See, he says, and has raised us up and made us to sit in heavenly places. That's the way God looks at it. We look at it like one day we're going to be there. God looks at it like we're already there. See, God ain't never had a temporary thought. I've heard old Mitchell say that a lot of times. He's right. His ways are far above our ways. His thinking's far above our thinking. But oh, if we can just get a hold of some of these things that God has for us. Sure, it's good to be saved. It's good to know that you've been saved. But there's far more than that to rejoice in. As God's people. Pray for the preacher this morning. Pray for the service. Pray for that one may be here today that don't know the Lord. God speak to their heart. They ought to be always on the front of her burner and in her mind. And thank the Lord for what he's done for us. He's been good to us, ain't he? Far better than we deserve. We've got something waiting on us as God's people. I think we ought to think on that more, don't you?